Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Upshift Podcast, the Daytona recap episode. Me and Brian and the gang take off and head down to Daytona. We had a great time. There was a lot of debacles. We talk about that. And so much more motorcycle talk on this podcast than you can handle. Over an hour. So if you listen to the very end, thank you. I'd like to thank everybody that reaches out, listens to the podcast, supports us. Again, we're doing it for fun, and it's all about motorcycles here on the Upshift Podcast. Give us a follow on Instagram. You got the Upshift Brian up there in New Hampshire, and you have me, just the good old Upshift. But thank you again for taking time out of your day listening to this little old motorcycle podcast where we just have fun talking about motorcycles and have a good time doing it. Thanks again. The Upshift Podcast. Hey guys, let's talk suspension. When the Upshift guys ride, we ride with Suspension Technologies, built to a standard, not a price. Call Mike and the team and see why Suspension Technologies should be on your V-twin. I run them on my Road Glide, FXR. Hey, every bike I own has Suspension Technologies because that's the way to ride. Give those guys a call at 727-233-3610. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, and suspensiontechnologies.com. And also, if you're going to be at the Gator Bike Rally and Leesburg Bike Fest, go check those guys out. They will be there from April 25th through the 28th at Gator Harley-Davidson for the Spring Bike Rally. Go by and tell them that the Upshift Podcast sent you by to get a new suspension for your American V-twin. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, Brad?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just, we're right at a week back from Daytona, and we are having technical difficulties here, but...
What else is new?
We run out of gas, dead batteries, leaking petcocks on motorcycles. What else?
Where do you want to start? Should we... all right, so obviously we just got back from Daytona. We had a blast. And so how was your ride down there? So we met up in Savannah, Georgia.
Yep. Yeah, my ride was fine. Because I put mine in the trailer because, with only, 100 and we'll say 13 miles shakedown on the old FXR, I was not going to chance it, and I'm glad that I didn't. Very uneventful until we get to St. Augustine, we'll say.
Well, my ride down was it was horrible. It rained from the minute we left. It rained the whole way down. And then we got to Savannah, and we were supposed to stay an extra day in Savannah, but it looked like it was just going to rain all day that Friday. So we figured we'll go with you. And we ended up going to St. Augustine, staying the night there. And that was a better choice.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I mean, we had big plans on taking in some sights and sounds and riding around St. Augustine. And we did for 6 miles?
Yeah. I mean, I did too. I got to go back and forth to that same location a few times. But yeah, it was pretty packed. St. Augustine was pretty cool from what I saw.
Yep.
The oldest city. Is that the oldest city in the country?
In America.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And we saw the very first part of, we had a little FXR issue right across from the Oh, and I even wrote this down to even say the name, but it's the fort, not fort, the military fort castle thing right there on the water. And
yeah,
I got to look at it and admire it from the other side of the street. But
yeah, hey, it looked pretty cool. Typical old town, tiny little streets, you know, packed, people walking everywhere. So I saw enough. I didn't have to really explore. I don't need to be around that many people.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so that's where we had the running out of gas episode. So note to self, and we'll talk about this when we go into, you know, the safety corner or what's in your saddlebag. Always look to make sure that your gas is on and it is in the on position, not reserve. will that be a... I mean, my eyes are pretty bad, so I'll blame it on that. But
yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, because when you put it on reserve and you run out of gas, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, because there's no more gas.
Yeah, your reserve is gone. And so then you know what you're supposed to do after that is you're supposed to just keep trying to start it.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
And hopefully just kill the battery because the battery was old anyways. So
yeah. So, yeah.
But hey, that made for a fun night in St. Augustine. We got to pick you up. You know, we searched around, found you a battery, went out for dinner. It was a good night.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the adventure.
Exactly.
So, and we had an adventure and we had a good time. No one got hurt. No FXRs were hurt. No people were hurt.
I think your pride might have been hurt a little bit, but.
Yeah, when you're sitting there in the busiest part of town and people are coming by and, you know, they're like, man, what's that guy? He's just hanging out, you know, sitting around his motorcycle. But what made it even better is the guy come out of that was the back entrance to the restaurant in that alley. And he's like, hey, if you just need to leave it here and go get whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck here. I said, my buddies are coming back to pick me up. He goes, well, this is motorcycle parking, so. He's like, you're fine right here. Nobody's going to come get you or tow you off or anything. I'm like, great. So,
yeah, that worked out. And then the trolley was over with. So we were able to, it was like a loading zone. We picked you right up and we were out of there.
Out of there, new battery, gas fired up. We're good to go.
Yeah. And then, so the next morning we headed off to Daytona. And that ride was good. No rain. We just cruised. We stopped at the Buc-ee's. We got the people watch at Buc-ee's. I didn't get any food because I had Waffle House a couple hours prior. But the Buc-ee's is always an adventure.
Yeah, I mean, and there I don't know what it is, but you know, so and I'll tell you, on my way home I stopped there and there was nobody there. But it was at I don't know, 10:30-ish at night. We were there at, I don't know, what do you say that, around 11:30, 12 o'clock?
Right around lunchtime, yeah. And I think all 100 pumps were being used. It was, I'm a little sick of Buc-ee's too. That's too many people.
That, I mean, they need a bigger parking lot.
Yeah. Jeez.
That was pretty wild. But, you know, hey, they're right off the highway, jump in there, get you some gas, get you a brisket sandwich. Did you even eat at Buc-ee's brisket sandwich in Daytona this year?
No, I skipped that.
But you've had them before, so I mean, it's not like it's a have to. But you know, we did eat barbecue.
With all the other barbecue spots down there. I mean, the Buc-ee's doesn't. It's okay, but it doesn't compare to the other ones.
Yeah, no, it is not the pig stand. So.
No. Oh, the pig stand was great. Oh, I love that place. All right. So Saturday we got there in Daytona and it was, I can't even remember. Was it raining? We didn't go to the Supercross.
No, it started to. That was the thing about it. So the weather was a little iffy and it just, you know, it was, you could tell it was raining all the way around us, but not where we were at the time.
We made
it out to the racetrack. That's it really got going then. And I'm like, well, I guess it's just at my age,
I'm not going to buy a $100 ticket and sit in the rain and watch it.
Yeah. Yep.
And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it come a monsoon. I think we were stuck underneath the tent for over an hour. Cause I sent you a text and I'm like, we're stuck in the downpour.
That's right. Yeah. Cause it wasn't raining where I was. And I was like, I'm going to go for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just go the opposite direction, but
yeah.
And by the time we got out and it cleared up, I'm like, you know, let's go back to the condo. And y'all had made it to Main Street. And me and Robert said, well, you know what? We'll go check out the diner across the street. And we got it to go. And we watched the race.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that was a fun. Yeah. So after we got all settled in Saturday, I think Sunday morning was the first show we went to. Sunday morning, we woke up and went to the Hardcore Cycles performance show.
Yeah, we were out there at Hardcore, and then we got to hang out with Mike and the gang from Suspension Technologies. And I haven't talked with Mike since I've been back. I am shipping him out. He's going to do an adjustment on my shocks for the FXR. But every time that we were at the booth or walking by, they were putting on shocks, front suspensions. They were jamming the whole entire time. And I think the weather was good, you know, because in Florida, if it rains, it's going to stop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not, you know, I think what was it? Earlier in February, they had like 10 straight days of rain. And I think there was still some roads back there on the loop that were, I don't think they were probably closed back then, but as you know, we got down there for bike week, they had just opened them because they still had the signs up where it said road closed ahead. But I mean, the water was lapping right up on the asphalt there. But yeah, so let me ask you this. So going to Daytona like we have over the years, do you think that the vendors and all the aftermarket stuff at the Harley shop, you think there's more, or that those vendors have their booths and tents and all have gotten bigger?
Yeah, I think that the booths and stuff has gotten bigger. It's more, it's way more companies like shops. Well, not shops, because it's more like big companies, Arlen Ness, Custom Dynamics. There's no more the Exile Cycles, Choppers Inc.
There's none of that.
Yeah, no Indian Larry. There's no like shops that like maybe you and I have only heard of, you know, and other people. So it's all mainstream stuff now in Daytona, which is fine. Yeah. And I don't know. This year's Daytona was kind of, it didn't really fill my excitement. You know, I had a blast riding the FXR. I went to a bunch of FXR shows. You know, I talked to some FXR guys. I had a lot of fun on the FXR, but the actual rally, I mean, Main Street, I went down there one time. It was fun, but I don't know. It just, the weather was great. Yeah. It, what was that? One day we were on the other side of A1A for something. Then we came back towards the beach, towards the water, and it was like a fog cloud. You couldn't see in front of you. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, the FXR mixer that was over on the beach side.
Yep. Yeah.
But do you think we've been going so long and maybe our tastes have changed just because we've gotten older and staying out half the night is just not what we're interested in anymore? Some people are in our group.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't mind doing that. I did it one night, but I definitely would. I'd rather ride and go to the shows, because the shows in Daytona have really stepped up their game. There's never been shows like this in Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, there was over the years. There's always been, and we didn't even go to this one, the Rat Hole. Did you even go out there
to the boardwalk? Was that on the boardwalk?
No, the one that they took the Rat Hole, and it's at the Indian dealership on Beach Street.
Oh no, I didn't even go over there. We went. They had the boardwalk show.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a big one. How was that? Because I was already gone by that time.
That was pretty good. I mean, I woke up at 6:30 that morning and there was already guys polishing their bikes. And then we walked. It was like 5 o'clock, and we walked to the ocean deck because you had to, you have to go to the ocean deck. It was so good, and it was still going on. It was there was a lot of bikes there. I was surprised. It's just, the line just kept going.
Yeah, well, I mean, it for a long time that was it was either the rat hole or the boardwalk. So, and over the years, there's been, you know, American Iron. You remember when they were sponsoring?
Yep.
Some stuff down there. Do you remember going to the one, and I know I've mentioned this before, it was in the old water park, and it was closed?
No.
You never went to that? Yeah. That was one water of the years. It was right off of Atlantic Avenue.
Was it the skate park? Is that what you're talking about?
No, this was a water park, but it wasn't open.
Because I remember going to the Limp Nicky lot.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that's a skateboard park.
Yeah, wow. That's over off of Beach Street up. I can take you to it, but I can't tell you. Yeah, I've shot some video from that, and I still have it on my computer somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, and then you know, remember V-Twin Visionary moved out there one time.
That's a skate park though. It's on. It was on Route 1.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like down.
There were a couple shows out there.
Down towards like Port Orange.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there was like the, they had all the bikes and they'd put some of them up on the skate ramps and stuff. And then that kind of a sand, half grass lot had all the tents set up with, you know, vendors and some, you know, custom parts and stuff like that. And then the bikes are in the middle.
Yep. I remember that. That was a good spot.
Yeah, it was. And I can't remember how many years that went on. I just do know I have video from that. That is on my computer somewhere because it hasn't been too long ago.
I could be on that video.
That's true. So when was that? Like 16, 17?
Yeah, probably at least, right? 8 years ago, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. But yeah, all the shows were cool. Did you make it out to Willie's?
Nope. Sorry, I'm eating a Pop-Tart.
Oh, okay.
We went to the Giuseppe's Steel City Pizza Chopper Show. It's put on by Traditional Choppers, I think. And I just kind of figured all those bikes were there. We're going to be at Willie's. And Willie's gets so packed, you can't even see the bikes anyways.
Yeah, after about lunchtime, it's pretty much pointless to even try because they're 6 and 8 deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Willie's is good to just walk around up and down the sidewalk and see all the bikes that are
not in the show.
Exactly. So it's we didn't go this year. It's probably the first time I didn't go in ever. I don't even think I've ever missed that show.
Yeah. Have you ever stayed for the trophies and all that?
No. Oh, yeah. So the first year, all right, so I'll tell you a story. So I think I had my night train, and I had just customized it. I had built my own tank, and it was painted gold metal flake and had Paul Yaffe handlebars on it and had, you know, it was airbrushed. I mean, if I look back at it now, it wasn't the coolest thing, but it, you know, but anyways, so anyways, I went to Tropical Tattoo on, it was probably like a Tuesday, and who was there? Oh, Lead Sled was there with their pickup truck. So I pulled in and I just checking out his old pickup truck, and Roadside Marty was there, and he came up to me, started talking to me, and you know, blah blah blah, you should put your bike in the show, blah blah blah. And I didn't know back then, so I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. And so I think I gave Roadside Marty my phone number. We were talking to each other, and like he called me the next day. We hung out, went down Main Street. I don't know where the heck we went, but we hung out for like a couple hours, and then I went to the show on Thursday and put my bike in the show, and I had to stay the whole time.
Because you were stuck in there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Did you see anything at the Hardcore on Sunday that you thought was pretty cool?
Yeah. No. No, yeah. There was, oh, yeah, no. There was that blue frame FXR. That was pretty cool. It almost looked like FXR Rob when he used to work at Thrashing Supply. Okay. You ever see that bike check he did with his blue frame FXR?
Yep.
So it looked just like that. It had a thrashing pipe on it. It was a really cool bike. And then, oh, there was another FXR. There was a couple of cool FXRs, but it was mostly, I mean, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how you want to look at it, the performance magazine is just dead. It's all about $20,000 paint jobs, turbos bolted onto stock motors, you know, guys walking around with their blinged out jeans, and it's just, unfortunately, it's turned into the new big wheel magazine.
And that's been thrown out quite a bit.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know, those big time,
yeah,
those big time paint jobs, they just, I don't know. I look at them, but they don't really do it for me. That's why I've always liked the stunt bike.
Just like the stereo bikes, the bikes that they pull off of a trailer. I know you saw the video where it took three guys to push this thing out of a trailer and push it up, and they had to put stands on it because it's so heavy that it would fall over.
So,
and I can appreciate, I mean, that's what that guy likes. He's all about the, and I'm awesome. That is awesome for you. It's not my cup of tea. I mean, if I happen to walk up to a stereo competition, I'm probably going to walk around and look at the bikes, but that is not going to be my, you know, I've got to put a check mark and I have to go to that. That's just, it's not my deal. And I'll say this, and I'm not throwing off on anybody. Some of the shows you go to are the same people, and they kind of get the same trophies at all of them. Not, I'm just from what I see.
Oh yeah, if you don't have a, somebody said if you don't have a Florida license plate, you're not winning any shows down there anyway. So I don't know if that's true, but
I don't know.
I
still go to them. I still like it. It's an up and down thing when it comes to bike shows, and I have not put my bike in a bike show in Daytona since the 80th when I met you. I put my 50th anniversary Daytona in the hardcore show that Sunday, and I had a great time. And to me, I think that year, all of the vendors and the guys that were set up like on the perimeter, and the bikes were in the middle. And it was still packed out, but you could actually walk around because I spent the whole entire day at that one spot.
Yeah. And I
got to see a lot of cool things. And I think, you know, I buzzed through there. I was there for, you know, 15, probably about 30 minutes, I'll say. And then the performance show out at the Speedway, you know, you got to see a lot of the same bikes. I think the Chopper show there, to me, was one of the best ones.
Yeah, was that the V-Twin? No, that was that the V-Twin show?
No, it was the Harley-Davidson Chopper show.
I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there were some pretty nice shovel heads. It kind of got me inspired to do some shovel head stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there were some really cool bikes that you could, they ride them. You could tell a lot of those were, right. And all the lead sled, all their stuff always is cool.
Yeah.
You can tell they ride it. And then the vendors that are there, I bought a Made in America hand-tooled leather key ring from, I saw it and I'm like, you know what, that's a cool little, you know, a $20 little, you know, hook with a, where I can, you know, hook my keys on. I was like, you know, I want to support guys that make stuff in America and come out here and, you know, support the motorcycle scene, whether it be choppers, stereo, big wheel, performance. There's enough room for everybody to come and play in those arenas.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
I'm not throwing off on it, and I'm not talking down to it. It's just, you know, there's so many things to see and do, you know, at Daytona specific, because it's not a rally to where you're going to go and spend one whole day riding to something around there, because you know, it's not a riding rally. We said that before, and we don't go to do that, even though we end up riding and going in different directions. But I had a great time. Will I continue to go? Yes, I'll always go to Daytona. It's, you know, it kicks off the motorcycle season, if you will say. It's a place where me and you met, and, you know, we do this podcast. It's a fun thing, you know, and I think this year I had enough of it. You know, the weather was looking horrible, and I was like, I do not want to spend all day on the road in the rain. I was like, you know, if I leave at night, even though I'm going to hit some rain, there'll be less traffic, and it worked out perfect.
I mean, yeah, there
was some horrible rain to where I was in the middle of the road, but, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and there's not that much traffic, so.
Yeah, the weatherman kind of screwed you, because the following day was a beautiful day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all like perfect weather days.
Yeah, I know. That's just how it is. And, you know, next year we'll get together and be like, hey, let's, you know, maybe we go towards the middle of the week and stay over. I mean, I don't know if that interests any of the crowd. I mean, for me, it's not that far. So
yeah,
when, you know, you from New Hampshire, the other guys from, you know, Indiana, that's a haul. So they're not coming for 3 days.
No.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So it's funny, the place where we were staying, there was a guy, he had one of those bikes with the frigate. This stereo was unbelievable. Like, Edwin and I were standing out watching people go by, and he turned it on, and it's like, I was probably 50 yards from him, and I could feel the bass. Yeah. And so we're talking to him. How many batteries do you think are in that, are on that bike?
Probably three or four at least.
Five batteries.
Where do you put them?
Well, the bike is gigantic. I don't know where he puts them, but it was funny because he had it going, and he said he blew an amp, and I don't know how many amps he has on this thing.
Wow.
But he had it, like, you know, overnighted, so he's like, tomorrow it'll be back to 100%. Sure enough, the next day they were out in the garage working on it, and that thing was, I don't even know how he wrote it. I mean, the whole tour pack, it had 12 speakers that I counted.
Good grief.
Yeah, 12 speakers that were 8-inch subwoofers or bigger.
Yeah, and there are some of those bikes that do not run.
Oh, he rode this one.
Like, there's some of these stereo competitions, and the rule is the bike has to fire up. And the only time they fire it up is when they, you know, duck walk it into the spot, they hit the, you know, air ride, and the center stand comes down, and then they come and, you know, put some stuff to keep the front wheel from falling over or what have you.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more money into that bike than I do all my bikes put together. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, and he loves it, and I love it for it.
Yeah, hey. At least he loves it, because I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's to each their own, as we say. But
yeah,
overall, so, Daytona, it was a good time.
It was a good time.
You know, the weather can always play a factor. And as we get older, it's not going to be the old school like we talked about in our Daytona Fever episode, the Beach Street and all of that stuff that used to go on down there. I mean, it's a ghost town on Beach Street. I mean, we did ride Beach Street. We went to Daytona Black Gold Motorcycles, and I tried to buy parts in there, and the guy wouldn't sell them again. But
hey, like I said, I had fun. I got to ride the FXR every day, did some burnouts, did some wheelies, did everything I could, went to some shows. But that Giuseppe's Pizza, that was really good pizza, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, well.
And, all right.
Before, but
this is the question. You know, I saw a professional monkey there again.
Yeah.
And he was a cool guy. We ran to him a bunch. But anyway, so Edwin, he's allergic to cheese, so he didn't order a pizza. I was a little worried about even ordering a pizza because, you know, if the cheese gets too close to him, he might have a problem.
Yeah, I have an issue.
No, I'm just kidding, Edwin. So I ordered a pizza with ham and pineapple on it.
Really?
What are your thoughts on that?
Mm.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I know where this is going.
We're friends, and we'll be friends after this.
All right, so you and Edwin get along then. That's fine. Whatever.
Pineapple, it just doesn't belong on pizza.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know,
but it's okay. I'm not going to throw it in the floor. I'll just pick it off.
All right. So the professional monkey comes over to the table. You know, he sees the pizza. And I thought he was a fan. But then Edwin's like, you put pineapple on your pizza? And he said, no, that's an abortion. Did he say abortion or abomination? I think he said abomination. Yeah. I was like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, give me our stickers back.
Yeah, get the heck out of here. Let me eat my pizza in peace.
Yeah, without a monkey running around talking about how professional he is.
Yeah, judging me. But anyways, the pizza was great. We strapped it to the Cop Glide, and I ate it for the next 3 nights. It was delicious.
Speaking of the Cop Glide, there was an incident with it.
Lots of incidents.
Were there? So there were more after I left.
Oh yeah, that thing ran like crap the whole week. I'm hoping he's gonna carburetor it. So collect some pieces from a, you know, 03 Road King or something. Just get a stock CVO Harley Davidson carburetor. You know, yank out the fuel pump, put a different petcock on it, and just call it a day. I mean, that bike will run forever if you put a cock.
Yeah. It will.
I mean, that bike is so comfortable compared to my Road Glide. If we're comparing Street Glide, Road Glide, I mean, the Road Glide still looks a little better in my eyes, but the Street Glide, that fairing, it protects you so much better. The Road Glide, I feel all the wind. Street Glide is like, you can put miles on that bike because it just, the way the wind just, it doesn't even bother you. It's great.
Well, that's what we are going to talk about. So, I have a listener question.
Uh-oh.
So, we have a longtime listener. And I'm going to go in here. I'm not going to give everybody's name. But this is one of our listeners, Tommy. He's from South Carolina. And he is getting his first Harley.
Okay.
And we're messaging back and forth. He is currently riding, and I'm going to go back to it, let's see here, what is this? And he has sent me pictures of it. Let me go back. It is a, well, if I can, and, oh, I had, so he is currently riding a Venture, that is a Yamaha Venture is a 1300. So it is a, if you can picture these bikes, they're set up like an Ultra Classic. So a Batwing fairing, saddleback, fullback.
Yeah. So it's a metric cruiser.
Yeah, metric cruiser. And then he has another metric bike that's similar to a Softail.
Okay.
And he is questioned, and this is for you, Tommy, Road Glide versus Street Glide. And over the years, we've done deep dives on the pros and cons to them, but this is for you, Tommy. And the other listeners that have heard this before, just play along. You just said that you like your Batwing fairing, the bike that you sold, the old Cop Glide, the old 98 Electro Glide.
Yep, 99 Electro Glide. First twin camera.
Yes. And now you are on a Road Glide.
Yep.
So, and I've had both myself. And this is my take. Batwing versus the Road Glide. So me being short, not a lot of stature in the leg department there, and short arms, the Ultra Classics that I've had, the Street Glides, the weight of the fairing, when it has a radio and speakers in it, it's fairly heavy, and it is on the forks. So slow speed, in a parking lot, maneuvering it around that way, garage, that comes into play. Going down the road, it, you know, you get it up to speed, you know, you're going. What you do run into is the wind buffeting. So you get behind a truck or a large vehicle and you get the wind off of it and you get a little bit of vibration and shake in that front fairing. The Road Glide, which is the frame mounted fairing, fixed, you know, shark nose, we know what those are. All of that weight is on the frame. So moving it around, slow speed, parking lot, garage, parking, things like that, is a little bit easier because the forks move freely inside the fairing. For me, I like them both, and I've owned them both, and I will own another Electra Glide Batwing fairing. But as far as touring, riding on the highway, I like the Road Glide for that simple fact of what I just said. To me, it cuts through the wind better. A good windshield on that, it's going to shoot the wind right over your helmet, take away a lot of the buffeting that I remember getting on the Batwing Ferry. So if you say you only got one choice, or Brian, are you going Batwing or Road Glide? I'm in the Road Glide camp. Not yep. saying that I don't like the Batwing Ferry. I love them. And again, I'll own another one. I know I will. But for me, the Road Glide is the touring bike for me.
Yeah, I'd pick a Road Glide as well, but maybe the Road Glide, my Road Glide, maybe the windshield's a little too short for me. So I kind of get a lot of the wind. And I never really experienced the wind buffering with either Street Glide or Road Glide. I mean, I think, I don't know, that's really being nitpicky. But okay. as far as looks, I think the Road Glide looks better. But
yeah, as the new, you know, after 15 and then now the 24 is just, I mean, pretty doggone cool.
Yeah, I lean towards the 13 and older. I like the dual headlight. I like the old Road Glide style.
No, I'm not saying that I don't like it, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and then, but the Street Glide is also, it's, I mean, they're good looking bikes, and it's just, I think the stereo and everything on the Street Glide is closer to you.
It is.
And so I think that's what helps protect the wind a little better.
Yep.
But, I mean, if I had to choose today, if I had a Road Glide already, I would get a Batwing.
Okay.
If I didn't have either, I'd probably get a Road Glide.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay, well, here's the other question, and me and Tommy were texting back and forth. He's looking at an older one. So he's looking at a 08, 2008. Oh,
there you go. Those are good-looking ones.
They are, and it is a great-looking bike. So I've seen the bike that he's looking at.
All right, yeah, I'd say go with that.
And this is what I told him. I said, that's awesome. That is a great bike. It's, you know, depending on what you're going to do, it's probably going to meet all the requirements. You're going to tour on it, and you're going to ride local and things like that. But when you're back to that year of bike, that is right before the frame change in 09. And then there's been quite a few since then. So what I had told him is that 08 and back, there's not, you know, not a lot of seat options, not a lot of handlebar options, windshields, because that bike, and it's really not that old, but in the aftermarket world and the motorcycle world, it is an older bike. They're not making that style anymore, that frame style. And so as it gets older and older, the parts kind of dwindle down. And so there, if you do want to change up a seat, you only have this many options. If you want bars or windshields, you're limited to these two or three that are still made by this particular company. As you get into 2009 and later, multiple seats, even though you have to get the 15 on the Road Glide to get the new, well, really it's the old body style now with windshields and things like that and grips. And, you know, that people don't think about that, but that's a big deal. You know, the grips that you walk into the Harley shop and see hanging on the wall, 9 times out of 10 are not going to fit even your bike. Yours is a 07.
Yep. Yeah. So it doesn't have throttle by the wire, yep. But I think
you can still get those, but I'm just saying, you know, they're not readily available. So there's pros and cons to both of them. A lot of times it's, hey, this fits in my budget, I'm going to go with this bike. Awesome. And a lot of parts will interchange, but, you know, some major things, seat, bars, things like that are getting a little tougher to come by. And I do know this, that the old Road Glide fairing, the old Street Glide fairing, those are obsoleted by Harley now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the 2008 is kind of a awkward year because the seats go 97 to 07. And then 09 to current. So it's like the 08 is definitely a bastard year. There's not much. It was in the middle of a change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 08's a tough. I mean, you're going to get a good deal on it because, you know, the parts are a little tougher to find. Even, you know, everything, like you said, from grips to cams to everything is just a little bit different.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you are purchasing a bike, so take that into consideration. So we talked on a little bit more and I sent him, I'm like, hey, just a quick search here on Marketplace. Here's a 09 or a 2012 Road, no, 13 Road Glide. And I said, hey, bigger motor, 103 versus the 96. It still has a 6-speed, a little bit better internals. As far as the motor in the twin cam, you know, just things like that. So, Tommy, those are things that you know, me and you talked about, and, you know, I kind of got Brian's take, and I'll let him talk some more. I feel like I keep talking over you, but, I mean, so what do you say? If someone came to you and said, okay, this is what I'm looking at, which way should I go?
Well, like you said, like if it's an 08, I would definitely bring up the fact that it's going to be tough to get parts. So if you can get an 09 or newer, I do it. Or if you get an 07 or older, do it. But I feel like the skinny tire baggers are still kind of popular.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, because they're definitely the go-to bike for stunting. And I just like the way the older fairing looks, so... But yeah, so Tommy, I would 09 and up Road Glide.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Yep. Tommy, we will get this uploaded and I hope you listen to it and you got our contact information. You can reach out anytime. Hope to meet you somewhere down the road. He lives here in South Carolina, so I'm sure our paths will cross eventually. But so that's our take on the Batwing versus the Shark Nose. Let's see, what else can we get into? Oh, okay, so back to Daytona a little bit. So Harley had their big installation there. And they had the race bikes out there and the motor clothes and there were some helmets and then all the bikes. But there were some new bikes. Did you get a chance to go by and look at all those?
Yeah, I even got a chance to demo ride the brand new CVO ST.
Yeah, tell me all about that. That's what I'm getting to.
That bike is a badass machine, I'll tell you that.
Jesus. So that means if you had an extra 44, 45 grand laying around that wasn't, you know, allocated for anything, that would be in your garage?
I would definitely buy it. I mean, I love it from the bags to the I guess I don't love the fairing, but it grows on me.
Yeah, you could grow to love it.
And that infotainment center, everything's digital. And I mean, I wasn't even looking at that stuff. That bike it's fast for a big bagger. I mean, I think it started lifting the tire. I slammed it in second gear. It started lifting the tire a little bit, and it was just that thing is you put it in sport mode.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. What did it? Did you play around with all the modes?
Nope. So when I first took off, the guy put it in, I think it was rain mode, maybe, just to get me out of the parking lot. And then he said, you know, you can go to whatever you want. So I went right to sport mode, and it stayed on sport mode for the whole ride. Yeah, it changes the exhaust tone. It was great. Like I was riding next to a guy who was riding a Pan America. And so the route that Harley has you take, you go behind the airport and there's some big straightaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled up next to that Pan Am guy and I said, you know, gave him the head nod and we took off and blew him away.
Did you really?
It's a quick machine.
Oh yeah. And then the looks, if you just go by looks alone, which the performance is unbelievable, but it looks like a race bike with all the goodies on it sitting there in the dealership. Cause there's one here at the local dealership and I walked in and I just walked all the way around it. And I'm like, they hit it out of the park.
Oh yeah. I mean, I test drove the black one, but I would definitely want a white one.
Yeah. That's what the local dealer has here.
Yeah.
No, I am not going to buy it whatsoever.
After riding that bike, I mean, I came up to the red light, and when it turned green, I gave it a lot of throttle, snapped the clutch, and it just smoldered the tire in first gear. Into second gear, the wheel started coming up. It was a blast to ride. Definitely. I mean, I get all those other YouTuber guys, they get to ride them all across country, and that'd be a blast.
Yeah, Harley, if you're listening. Hey, me and Brian will ride across country.
Yeah. I mean, even next year, Daytona, I'll take one for the whole week.
Yeah.
I'll fly in like the thrashing guys do and just get one for the whole week.
Yeah. What did you think about the Tobacco Fade, those bikes?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of cool that we were down there and Harley came out with those, the Tobacco Fade bike and what was the other one, the Tri-Glide or the Heritage, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, so it was the Revival Hydroglide.
Oh, Hydroglide. Yeah, that's what it was.
The throwback to the 1956 FLH.
Yeah,
cool bike, cool parts, cool paint job, the seat, the bags, I mean, everything on it was pretty cool. The only thing, and think back to that bike, it does not have white walls. Yeah, no bike Heritage did. Should ever leave the factory without white walls. Just my opinion.
Yeah, that bike did nothing for me, so I didn't really look at it much.
Yeah, I mean, that's not your flavor, and that's fine. I love it. I mean, I wouldn't go spend the kind of money. It's like 25-ish thousand. It's a cool bike. It, you know, not in my budget. Did you see the prices on the Tobacco Fade?
No, but I did. I went over and looked at that one in person at the demo tent,
mm-hmm.
and in pictures, I was kind of interested, but as soon as I went over and saw it in person, it was way darker than I thought. It wasn't enough brown.
Yeah, the sunburst.
It was just really dark in it. Like I don't know, it didn't.
The trike has the chrome motor, and if they would have put that on the Limited, I think it would have popped.
Yeah. I mean, the Lowrider ST was definitely the bike this year in Daytona. They were everywhere.
Hey, just talking about the Lowrider ST in the Enthusiast Collection, that is a $1,900 option for that paint. Oof. The Limited is $2,900 option, and the Trike is $4,000 on top of the MSRP. Just throwing that out. I mean, it's cool. I mean, Harley's coming out with all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, to go back to, you know, your demo with the the CVOST. They knocked it out of the park, and it literally, you can walk into a dealership, pay for this bike, and walk out. It's got carbon on it. It's got the sport mode. It's got a tuned exhaust. It's a 117. No, excuse me. 121.
Yep.
Okay, that's right.
So the CVO, the ST has a 121 without the TVV.
Yes.
And then the CVO, the regular CVO has the, is it TVV? Time and variable variances?
Yeah, VTT, variable timing. Yeah.
Yeah, VTT. Okay, so the ST was the only one that I demo ride. I kind of wish I rode the CVO that had the VTT, because the chitter chatter as I was standing in line to ride the ST for 45 minutes, because they only had three of them, was that the ST was way more peppy without the VTT, and the regular CVO wasn't as, well, obviously it's not going to be as quick, but
yeah,
you know, but then they had the CVO Screaming Eagle edition, which I really like, because they had a really nice seat. It didn't have that funky looking carbon fiber back seat. It had a seat that looked like a Saddleman step up. Yeah. It was a Harley Davidson seat. And that, in the Screaming Eagle package, you could test drive that too, and I didn't. But that one, I think, had the best appearance looking to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't really care for the carbon that comes on the ST. It just looks marbly. It looks kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't look like the carbon that, you know, we would be.
Yeah. But I wonder if my bike's an 07, so it probably doesn't, but the front fender that comes on the new Road Glides, like even Robert's bike, is a nice looking front fender.
Yes, it is. It's a really good fender. Yeah. I mean, they're coming out with a whole lot. To me, again, I like the older bikes, but the new stuff, the styling, I like it too. And it appeals to new riders, and that's what they're going for. They're not after me and you that like shovel heads, Evos, FXRs, and things like that. We're not their target market, which, hey, they've drawn me in with this new stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, you know, I would have to clear out the whole garage.
To
afford one of those, and that's just not what I wanted to do.
No, I mean, our buddy Robert had brand new looking, nice looking Road Glide. Well, it was nice looking until some lady decided she wanted to go to Walgreens.
Yeah.
But he's doing better. We talked to him the other day.
Yeah, I've talked with him a couple times. I know that he's out and about. So shout out to Stone Cold, our good buddy Robert, who had a unfortunate incident.
He was a statistic.
Yep. And you know, okay, here's the thing. I'm going to say it. And again, anytime I say this, I do get a message or two, and still send them to me. I'm going to respond to them. Robert had on all of his gear. He had on his full face helmet. He had on his jacket. He had on his boots. He had on his long pants, gloves. He had it all. And if he wouldn't have had that on, it'd probably be a different outcome. So.
Yeah, because he was ready. He was ready to ride all the way back to South Carolina, and I mean, he literally made it a minute and a half away from the hotel.
Yeah,
he didn't make it far.
Yeah, and unfortunately, hey, you can buy new bikes, can't buy new Robert. So,
yeah, well, he had he fractured his ankle, so he had
fractured foot, maybe some cracked ribs, pretty good bit of a road rash, you know, it went through the gloves and through the jacket, and but you know, didn't hit his head. He hit his head, but you know, full face helmet protected him there, and then all the other gear and the bike too. What, you know, the engine guard and things like that did their job as far as keeping him as you know.
Yeah, that engine guard, that thing was bent back and snap, and the the guards definitely did their job, but it still got banged up. But it was, Edwin rode it back a couple miles back to the hotel and they had the check engine light on because I think one of the coolant lines was being pinched.
Oh, okay.
But it was, it took the hit pretty good. So,
yeah, well. I have not seen the bike. I know y'all did. I mean, you know, Robert called me. He's like, hey, I'm in the Halifax Medical Center. And I'm like, for what? And, you know, when you get those phone calls, it was good that Robert called me.
Yeah.
If it had been you or somebody else, then I, you know, it would have been, you know, as far as feeling and, you know, getting that call, I'm sitting there at my desk. It's just a phone call you don't want to get, but you know, Here's the thing about it. Had on his gear. He was, you know, wasn't doing anything crazy. He was riding like what we do on his way home. It was an incident that happened. He'll move on. He'll get another bike. The foot will be healed up. And I'm thinking, and we haven't talked about this, but his first ride back is probably going to be Myrtle Beach. He's going to go to Myrtle Beach with us. And tentatively, that's kind of what we planned. Shout out to our buddy Stone Cold. And, hey, like I said before, we can't get new Roberts. We can always buy new bikes.
Yeah, that was funny because when he called us, you know, probably half an hour after it happened. And not even Todd answered the phone. It's like, all right, what'd you forget? And then all of a sudden Todd's like, what? Like, well, what happened? So it was, but yeah, glad you're okay, Robert. So we'll see you again soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you guys were right there, Johnny, on the spot. And
we took care of him.
Yeah, you did. And I really, really do appreciate that. And that's what the motorcycle community does. That's what, you know, Robert never met any of you guys. And y'all just took him in like he was one of the guys. And
oh, yeah, he had a great time. He rode to Tampa with Todd and Dave. And yeah, he had a good time. So he's definitely looking forward to coming back next year. I know him and Todd have been talking. So,
yeah.
But as far as me riding, I have to get better about wearing. I mean, I just love riding without a helmet. I don't know what it is. It's just.
And I'll always say that I'm for freedom of choice. I do not think there should be laws that say you have to do this. Okay. I mean, there are statistics saying it will come out better for you in the long run if something happens, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm a freedom of choice when it comes to wearing a helmet, seatbelt, things like that. I choose, me, Brian, here in South Carolina, chooses to wear a helmet. And I have pretty much, oh gosh, I mean, when I first got my bike, I wasn't old enough not to wear a helmet. So I had to. I turned 21, got a little bit of freedom. I'm like, I don't think I'll, but I didn't go long. I would say probably a summer. And then I don't know what it was. I'm like, I like the helmet. So I have always wore one. Since then went to a full face. I have multiple half shells. I do not even wear them. They're actually here in my closet. I moved a few the other day out of my way. Yep. I wear a full face. And again, if you don't, we're still friends. I know I'm going to get a few messages. I always do when I mention helmets. But
I only wear one because, you know, it's friggin' cold up here, and I always wear a full face around here. But when I get down to Florida and it's nice out, I just don't wear a helmet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like today I was out riding my dirt bike, doing wheelies, practicing wheelies. I was wearing a helmet.
There you go, stunt guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm ready. I can almost get it. I have my son videoing me.
Okay.
I got nothing that I really want to post yet. I'm getting it up.
Send them to me. I won't post them.
Yeah, I'm getting them up to the balance point, but I just can't. I can't keep it there. So I'm every day. I just go out there and ride the dirt bike. So I'm getting better.
Well, good.
So I'll send.
Have you been on the FXR or the shovel or anything since you've been back home?
Well, so Edwin gave me a battery, and I was going to try to get the shovel going, but the battery, the terminals are on the wrong side, so that battery is not going to work.
Well, thanks a lot, Edwin.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go up, go buy a battery. I don't know. I really want to. I mean, I've never had a bike where I took the engine out. So I really want to buy either a hardtail kit for it, or I just want to buy a frame, a Paco frame.
Okay.
And just transfer everything over. I mean, I'm no mechanic. I can't take the bike. Like, I can't take the jugs off. I can't do anything with the cylinders or the pistons or anything like that. But I can take it apart and put it in to a frame and kind of buy an oil tank and kind of get it all set up and rewire it because it's kick only. So I can just rewire it so I can have an ignition.
Yeah, okay.
And a light and a tail light. And, I mean, if I start now, it definitely won't be ready for next Daytona because I have a feeling it'll take a while for me to do this. But
okay. I was going to say the smoke out, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a hardtail. Actually, you know what? That's wrong. I had a Triumph that I put a hardtail on one time, and I love that thing. So I'd love to have a hardtail shovel head.
Okay.
Because I've changed it up so many times as a swinger, swing arm shovel. Yeah. And I don't know. Now I'm just kind of, I want to do something totally different with it.
Okay. So will there be shovels at Daytona next year?
That's the word. Cause Todd has a shovel, Edwin's got his. And so that's what we're thinking. Cause like you said, Daytona, you don't ride and going to all those chopper shows. Like I said, kind of got me inspired. I was talking to Danger Dan and, just pretty cool bikes.
So you're telling me to be in the club, I've got to get a shovel for next year.
Yeah. Well, you're already out of the club anyways, but no, I'm just kidding. No.
Okay. And thanks for listening to the Upshift podcast with Brian in New Hampshire. Yeah.
No, well,
that guy. what that means is everybody's bringing two bikes next year, so we're going to have to get a house with a huge garage.
That would be ideal. But I know, this is the topic we go. I know you didn't love the place we stayed at this year. It was kind of.
I love the place, and I love hanging out with everybody. The parking is horrible.
The parking's not bad. It's the getting your luggage there and. There is really no, you can only park your bike there.
Yeah.
So getting your luggage there and then check, it's a real pain in the ass. But once you're there, I mean, the parking's no problem. I found parking, you can park pretty easily. But the problem is, that's all you have is your motorcycle, which is fine. It's bike week.
Yeah. But, yeah. And we didn't need the truck. I mean, there was times when you thought you did, but hey. Did you ever go out past where the washing station was and go out that way?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, there was four or five trucks parked there the whole time. And I saw a few guys when I was loading up.
Yep.
They walked right up. They got a few things out of their bike, and they walked down and put it in one of those trucks.
Yeah, I saw that white, the flatbed Dodge Ram was there all week. Yeah, so I don't know how they got that parking or what.
I don't know. That may be a thought for next year, but I mean, there any talks of renting a house?
No, nothing yet, but you get one parking spot. So like if we bring just shovel heads down next year, put them both in the back of the truck, we can park in the parking garage. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Well, it's so far away. I don't even like at this point, I don't even care if I go to Daytona next year. I'm just kind of like, that's the kind of year it was.
Yeah. Okay. So,
whatever,
No, I get it. I get it.
But, yeah, so I'd like to do something with a shovel head. I've always wanted to put it in a frame, but we'll see. Okay. I mean, the FXR is still, top priority in the garage right now. I ordered a new petcock.
Yes.
So, yeah, the petcock, I don't know, it leaks sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's the seal in there, and if you get the rebuild kit, it will leak all the time. Trust me. I've done
it. Yeah, because it's...
And I was told not to.
Yeah.
It did.
It's hard to turn. So I just got a Pingle one. Okay. And I'm going to put that on. They look cool. So I'll put that on at some point. And then what else happened to the FXR? So then my front brake, I only got a single disc. I know I should go to dual to be a real FXR guy, but I just like just like the look of it.
Me too. All
right. So I got the when I first bought that bike, it had, I think, 9-inch. I can't remember now. I don't even know what. Oh, they were the Forbidden Moto. I think they were 10-inch risers. So they were pretty tall. And now I have 6-inch risers with high bend bars. So I'm a little lower than it was to begin with.
Yeah, okay.
So I measured it out. Stock front brake line is 42 inches long. And the one that's on there was a +8. So it was 50 inches long.
Oh, God.
So I bought a +2, so I shortened my front brake line by 6 inches.
Okay, yeah.
And it looks so much better because before it was like a big S. It went way out, and then it went underneath the fork, and then it way up. It was ridiculous looking. I knew it was ridiculous looking. I just really never, I don't know. It didn't dawn on me. I'm like, so I bought a new one, and oh geez, it took me 4 hours.
Oh great,
but. It was my, so I have the pump, the hand pump and everything. I drained all the old fluid out, put brand new .5 in there, put the brake line on, the crush washes, you know, everything was right. It looked great. And I couldn't bleed it. I kept on bleeding. You know, I tried my pump and I'd get a bunch of air out. And then sometimes I wouldn't get any air out. And I was like, what is going on? So like, I just left it alone, went inside, which, back in my earlier days, I would never have done. I would have just kept on it, broke something, threw something. And I would have been.
It's the dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have been buying a new caliper because I would have screwed something up. But the older, wiser me was like, okay, yeah, let me go eat some raviolis. I'm going to go inside and think about this.
Have a Dunkin' Donut.
Yeah. So I went inside and I was, you know, thinking about it. I'm like, huh. I'm like, let me just. Then I was like, you know what? I got to buy a speed bleeder. Maybe that's my problem. So I took out the bleeder screw and I'm like, oh my God, this thing's all clogged up. So I blew that out, cleaned it all up, put it back in. It was like, and I had a bled within like 15 minutes.
Wow.
So that's all it was. The bleeder screw was all jammed up and it wasn't letting any air out or in. And so. But anyway, so I got it all, and the old push it and slam on your front brakes method, they feel like they're going to work really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's that. Okay. And my other issue was I'm at the FXR, I think it's the FXR Alpha page.
Yeah.
They put on a show down in Daytona, and so I'm putting my bike in. It was funny because Edwin and I roll in. And it's an FXR show. So the guy tells Edwin, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Be going with you.
Yeah. And then I pull up and he's kind of looking at me and I could tell he looked at the side to see the triangle. And he's like, oh, yeah, you can park right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fine. So I park in. I think there was probably 19 FXRs. It was a pretty good turnout.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of pictures unless I've missed them.
Yeah. And I don't know who won. They never posted who won because they had a best FXR, you know, little, I think it was a little derby cover or something.
Yeah.
And they never posted who won. I didn't stay because I was like, I had enough because there was nothing to do there.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing there and the guy's announcing and he's like, you know, he's talking about the bike. He's like, yeah. And bike number 6. It looks like you have a screw in your front tire. I don't know if you ran it over on the way here or not, but there's a screw in the front tire of bike number 6. And I look over at Edwin. I'm like, oh. Yeah. I look over at Edwin. And I'm like, oh, that sucks to be him.
And he didn't even know it was you at the time.
No. And then, so Edwin's like, are you bike number 6? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, hold on. Let me go look. So I walk over casually. I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm number 6. Right. So then everybody's like looking at it, taking a picture of it, videoing the screw. I'm like, it's a screw in the tire, buddy. Come on. Yeah. So that
you can accord all.
Yeah. So that was kind of annoying. So that's probably why I left early. I'm like, I gotta go. And then as I'm leaving, the guy's like, you got a screw in your tire. I'm like, I know. Like, that's why I'm leaving, because it was starting to lose air. Because it was funny, because I think it was that morning, I was like, why does my front end feels heavy? I'm like, and I'm like, I got a brand new tire. I couldn't have lost air. And it, you know, because it didn't lose air at all. It's been fine all week. And then sure enough, you know, the screw was in it. So, yep. So that was that. That was a good show. I think there was a couple blue FXRs. There was some nice FXRs that showed up.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of stuff on Instagram and Facebook, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Which there's so many things that get posted on those groups that it could have been posted and then a bunch of stuff on top of it, and it just worked its way down. Well, yeah. What did you end up doing? Did you plug the tire, or you just bought a new one?
No, I plugged it. It was right in the middle. It was right in the middle of the tire.
Oh, okay.
No, it was an easy plug.
Okay, good deal. Yeah. So you plugged it while you were down there?
No, I plugged it when I got home. Because that was on Friday afternoon. I think we rode back, had some dinner. What did we do that Friday night? Yeah, we went, had some dinner and just hung out, and then we left Saturday morning. So,
okay.
And it still had air in it when it got to my house, so it wasn't leaking fast.
Okay, so uneventful trip back home?
No, it rained the whole way home.
Yeah, you said that, but
it was brutal.
But other than that, nothing else.
Yeah, nothing. Like, but driving in the rain,
I know,
it just drains you. Like, all night long, it was just raining all night long. And I was like, my God, I just want to get home.
And you bombed straight through. You didn't even stop.
Yeah, I drove straight to Edwin's house. I think it was like half an hour to Edwin's house. I think I was seeing things. I was starting to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was starting to not. So I made it to Edwin's house, and I slept for about 4 hours at his house, and then I headed home.
Yeah, but, and Daytona 2024 is in the books.
Yeah, and then the day after, I washed all the Daytona grunge off my truck and bike, and
ugh. I haven't got to the truck yet, but I've already washed the bike. It's back somewhat together. It is some pieces are at paint.
Paint? Really?
Yep.
What are you painting?
The whole bike.
Really?
Yep. Oh. We're doing some little testing. Actually, it's going to be powder coat.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Yeah. So the fender is, they started that this past weekend, I think, hopefully. The 116 powder coating guy is working on it this evening. I may call him after we finish up here. And we'll check that out, and then we'll do the it's got to go to the shop, and the carburetor has got to get tuned out. It's pretty bad, but
yeah. Well, I think you should just ditch that S&S and put a Mikuni on it.
It's just more money.
Yeah, it's $350 for the kit, the Mikuni 42. But yeah, it's like everything else. Some people say it was the best thing they ever did to their FXR, and then some people say the Mikuni suck.
I've seen it both ways, but hopefully it'll get ironed out, and then it'll be in tip-top shape to ride the rest of the summer.
Yeah, because my FXR, it wasn't sputtering. It was almost acting like my main jet wasn't big enough.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, when we had stopped that one day.
Yeah, and then I put brand new plugs in it while I was down in Daytona, and it ran incredible after that. So I must have had a foul plug, and it wasn't that bad. It was just bad enough.
Okay.
It was going out, so a couple new plugs, and she runs pristine now. And I can't wait to get out there and do some burnouts with my new front brake. But it has been so cold here. I got home and it was nice for the first day, and it's lit. It today was 37 degrees with 40 mile an hour winds. I'm like, I'm not a real rider. I'm not gonna go ride today. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's the thing here. We've had awesome 70 all the way up to 80-plus degree days. It was below freezing out here.
Yeah. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I've been riding my dirt bike every day, so I've been riding.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have. I've went out and towed around on the Softail. There's actually a new bike that showed up here in the garage, but it's as soon as it's showing up, it's leaving.
Yeah, it's a flipper.
Yeah, it's a flipper. Old 04 Fat Boy.
Yeah,
I may throw some pictures up. Going to our good friend, old Matt. And shout out to Matt. Matt had a little bit of surgery today. He texted me from his hospital bed today.
Nice.
Talking about motorcycles. So, and actually, I just received a text from him, and he's out of surgery. So,
good.
Shout out to Matt. I'll see him here in another week or so. And the swap meet in North Carolina, I'll be attending this weekend. Hopefully, I'll pick up some cool parts and sell some.
Nice. Oh, so back to your FXR. So, you're getting the fenders powder coated.
Yeah, well, everything. But they're starting with the front fender because I wanted to keep it together. Because I'm taking it down to the good old CNC Thunder, and they're gonna tune on the carburetor.
Okay, so they're gonna even. Oh, I guess powder coating. All right, yeah, never mind. I'm thinking powder coating. The fuel tank would be a problem, but you're not welding it or anything, so I guess.
Well, and you can. I've actually powdered my old 79 Sportster tank.
Yeah.
But if everything looks good on the fenders and everything, we'll do the tank. But if not, there's a guy up the street. Then I'm going to let it, because it's only going to be black. Then, you know, I sent you a picture of the decals I'm going to use.
Yep.
And
black.
Yeah, black with some stripes.
Ugh, black.
I know.
But so.
I like it.
Yeah, I know. I got my shovel head right now is the tank and fender powder coated. So, but that tank was brand new. There was no fuel ever in it. So I don't know why in my brain I was thinking you couldn't powder coat a tank that had been used, but I guess you could.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get all the gases and everything out of it. Yeah, it's kind of more and more. The first one that I did was completely dry and it had been sitting on a shelf for years. So,
yeah. So. I mean, my I'm going to have to drain my tank to put my new petcock on, but I mean, my FXR kind of everybody loves the color. I can't even tell them. I don't even like telling people that it's a spray paint.
Yeah, it spray looks bomb. Awesome.
Like I spray painted that bike like 4 years ago at this point.
Yeah, and you hand striped it too, didn't you?
Well, that's just a vinyl stripe that I put on.
That's what I meant. You put that on there because literally, I mean, you got to get really down on it, and then when you do, you're like, that really looks good. Does. I love it. I mean, it is just, yeah. I mean, I'm going plain black, gold, stripe, you know, just, it is what it is.
I mean, because I think that was the most, like, I'd pull up to a light and people would look over and be like, is that an OEM color? I'm like, yeah. Nope, it's not. And that's all I said.
Yeah. And off I go.
Yeah. Well, one guy's like, that's Tiffany blue, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. Yep. See ya.
And you just take off.
Yeah, sure it is.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
I don't want to tell them. No, it's actually, is it Dumont? No, DuPont, no, 2X, whatever, whoever makes the 2X paint. See, what is it?
Duplicolor,
yeah. It's the Duplicolor 2X. I think it's Seabreeze is the name of the color, actually. Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, I like it. It's still holding up.
That is awesome. Well, if you've listened this far, we thank you for listening to the Upshift Podcast. Before we get out of here, we're going to do Safety Corner and what's in your saddlebag. So Safety Corner is make sure, and we've already talked about it, your bike is the gas, if you have a carbureted bike, is turned to on and not reserve. And when it does run out of gas and you own reserve, you don't keep hitting the starter and try to start it in the middle of the street. That is your safety tip from the Upshift Podcast. And what's in your saddlebag? Maybe you should carry around a can of gas if you're on an old FXR like me.
Does your fuel gauge work?
There is no fuel gauge.
Oh, okay. All right. So mine doesn't work. I almost ran out of fuel a few times in Daytona as well.
You did.
But,
One for the books, we'll say. So what is your safety corner and what's in your saddlebag?
Safety corner, you know, don't wear a helmet and ride fast.
Okay.
Yep. So, no, I don't know. I mean, can you describe, so you got a helmet on, you're in the wind, it feels great, but I guess it's just because I grew up in Massachusetts and I needed to wear a helmet every time. So when I didn't have to, it was like freedom. So maybe that's what it is, but
I totally get that.
Yeah. So, but safety corner, but in your, check your air pressure in your tires.
Definitely.
It's always a good one. And always carry a little
pocket. You have a screw in your tire.
Yeah. Do you think you should carry a plug kit? Because,
you know, when I go on a trip, I've bought two, these little Amazon ones, and they are for, to me, to get you to the next town or back home to get a new tire.
Yeah. Now that, I think the plug kits, I ran them for plenty of miles. But maybe, yeah, a plug kit and that, and a little Lexan pump, you're good to go.
You're good to go. Yes, you are.
Yeah. So.
Well, hey, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Upshift Podcast, the Daytona Recap. And we have rambled on and on and on. And again, if you have listened this far, we thank you. And check out our sponsor for this year's podcast, Suspension Technologies, down there in Florida. Mike and the team are probably still kicking back, licking their wounds from putting all those suspensions on in Daytona, but they will be geared back up and out on the rally scene in short order.
They're going to Leesburg next. Is that where they're going?
They're on Leesburg. They'll be in Myrtle Beach this year, and I will do a rundown on their calendar, and I should have had it here in front of me, but we will get them. But check those guys out, suspensiontechnologies.com.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah. Man, Brian, I've had a good one on this one. And check us out on Instagram. And tell me about your Instagram there, Brian.
The Upshift Brian. Because it was weird. Everybody I was talking to, I was like, I told them my old Instagram, and it just took too long to say. So I just said, I'm the Upshift Brian. And it just came out better. And I'm like, I'll just change the name.
I like that. And I'm the Upshift. So you get, you know, either one you get, you're going to get us both. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. You'll find.
Yeah. We are the Upshift Podcast. But yes, I've enjoyed this one. And we will see you on the next one.
All right. See you, Brian.